Hello, and welcome back to our podcast.
Hello.
Double Indemnity, the podcast, where we talk about new movies and releases. We talk about how we feel about them.
How we feel.
Yes.
What we think.
So be prepared for lots of spoilers. We're going to talk about the whole movie. Also follow us on Letterboxd, where we post the movies before we talk about them, DI_podcast. Also, let's get into all of the juicy bits.
All the juicy
the
bits.
The intros have gotten pretty quick now. I'm not going to lie. I feel like on a lot of podcasts, they like talk about their lives and stuff for like 20 minutes beforehand. So how was your life?
That's true. I mean, we do that every day, not on the podcast too.
Honestly though, like I feel terrible saying this, but like I always skip over the parts where they like talk about their lives and I just get to like the juicy bits.
Yeah, I've done that before too.
Yeah.
I've had the habit of doing that too.
Like I don't always care what happened to you at the grocery store, you know what I mean? So I'll skip over it to the bits I want to listen to.
It's not the grocery store.
So in honor of that, let's get down to the facts. What are we watching right now? First segment of the podcast.
We started watching House of Cards. We love it. It's good.
It's so good.
Say what you want about Kevin Spacey. He's probably a terrible human, but he's a great actor.
You know what? This I don't know if this makes any sense, but I feel like if it came out before all the crap, I'm not going to knock it. It would be different if he was filming things now and we all know this crap about him and they're giving him millions of dollars. That's different. But like this was filmed years ago. I don't know. I just don't like the whole idea of like we don't need to cancel every single film he's ever been in because just because he was in it does not at all impact or put a bad reputation, in my opinion, on the other actors who were involved, on all of the production team.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, I don't think it's fair to cancel a movie just because one actor, it has realized, like, we have realized now, is, like, not a good person.
Yeah, not, like,
now, like
not the whole show. I think canceling
them as a person, yes.
Yeah.
And watching it with that understanding. Like, we're not sitting here, like, considering him a god, but I don't think we should never watch anything that he's in, because what about all of the other people who made it and all of the other actors?
Agreed.
Like,
yeah, agreed.
It doesn't make them bad people. Like, gosh, remember when the movie like what Rebecca came out, it was right when like Armie Hammer's stuff was coming out, and I just felt so bad for what's that actress's name,
Lily James,
because she just happened to be a co-star in this movie at the same time that everybody's realizing that this guy is a bad person, and like it rubs off on her reputation no matter what, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's not great for any of the cast in any movie that has an actor that falls victim to cancel culture.
I know. Well, not even falls victim to cancel culture, but also like just people who it comes out that they're not good people.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by like falls victim to cancel?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to call them a victim.
They're not a victim.
They are bad people who have been engulfed into cancel culture
by their own doing,
because of their own doing.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, so I hate to like assume that all of the other actors in the movies and everything are bad people just because they were associated with this person when they worked with them. Like if you think about it, it's business, you know what I mean? Like it's their job.
Yeah,
they don't get to choose who their co-stars are unless they're like, you know, the top of the top people.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I don't know, I'm rambling now, but I've been just trying to say we're watching House of Cards and that doesn't make us bad people.
That's what we're trying to say.
So
it's a great
and show. We're also not standing up for it, and we're not saying that we agree with anything Kevin Spacey did, but
yes,
we are saying that we do not agree.
It's kind of hard to separate the artist and the art, you know. I find myself going either way with that argument, you know?
Okay, do you think that you should or that you shouldn't if you had to say yes or no? Like, what side are you leaning to? Like 60% one side or the other, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to lean towards separating the art
from the artist. But once you realize that the artist is a bad person, I don't think that we should glorify their art, you know what I mean? Like, what if it came out that this guy was a serial killer and all of his art before that like was super popular, but now that we realize he's a serial killer, maybe we shouldn't
I guess, you know, it's like
pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars to do paintings or something.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it,
like,
yeah,
don't support his career anymore. I don't know.
But then if you watch it, him, like a movie he made 20 years ago before he did anything bad, is that still supporting him?
That's like the whole argument of like, oh, would you go back and kill, if you could take a time machine, would you go back and kill Hitler? And it's like, you're telling me you're going to go back and you're going to look at a baby.
That's true.
And you're going to kill it.
Minority Report.
That's one of those things where it's like, do you believe in nature versus nurture, you know?
Yeah.
We're just getting into some deep conversations today.
Philosophical today.
Because, like, think about it. What if Hitler had had a different upbringing? Would he have been a different person? You don't know. All we know is what actually happened.
What if he got into art school? He might not have murdered millions of people.
I think, yeah. I don't know. All we can really say is what's happening now, and we don't have a time machine, so why talk about what we do with one? I think time machines would be a really bad idea.
Oh, of course, no doubt. I mean,
I don't think we should go forward or backward.
There are a plethora of movies that say why they are a bad idea.
I know. I'm just grateful I got a chance to live right now, you know?
Why do you need to go back to any other time besides
I know.
Right now?
And I don't really want to see middle school me again. Like, I lived it. It is dead to me now. That is in the past.
Let it lie there.
Yeah.
Let it stay.
We all have moments that we're embarrassed of. I'm sorry. I'm
some
like
more than
this,
others.
I'm like in this mood where I could just go on tangents of talking about random stuff. This is what Jonathan experiences
you're acting
every
like this
day.
Is anything different.
I had a whole nother topic I was going to like dive into, but I'm not going to do
it.
Got
out of focus.
Oh no, the camera's out of focus. I hope it wasn't out of focus this whole time. Oh wait, now it's in focus. It was probably because you were leaning forward.
What?
Yeah. Maybe because it like auto-focused. I don't know. But it's fine. Hopefully.
It's really funny.
You know what?
Video.
If it was out of focus, that's what it was and what
it's
going to be.
That's what it is. We can't go back in time and change it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. That was funny. Okay. So also something that I watched alone was the Amber Heard versus Johnny Depp show on Netflix where they go through the whole trial, which it just like, first off, it is so weird to me. People who see things in real time. And they're like, start the documentary now. So that, what, 6 or 7 months after we have a released documentary? Like, they had to have been doing it as it was going on. Like,
It's impressive how well some documentary feature films, like,
they're on top of
they're
it.
They're on top. They're like, we got to get this.
But what's also kind of sad about it.
We're going to release a movie in a year from now.
Like, I know. I think it's a little sad, though, that, like, these people see terrible things happening and they're like, money.
We got a video. Money.
They just see content. You know what
publicity.
I mean?
Publicity.
Can I have some of your water? My water is 15
oh, no.
feet away
you
from me.
You have to drink from my water? That's terrible.
Honestly, my water is just superior.
My water bottle is much better than yours.
My teeth are really sensitive right now from...
Oh, true.
I had a permanent retainer on my teeth, but I don't know if it was just my orthodontist or something, but... I have a very aggressive bite and my permanent retainers were all just detached and one of them was like flailing and stabbing me in the gum.
Flailing.
Obviously people on our podcast want to hear this.
Obviously.
And it popped off and literally broke. So I only had like a tiny chunk left on the top and then the bottom only two teeth were attached. And so I got it removed and it's like really sensitive now.
Does
and
it
like
feel
slimy.
Weird?
Yeah, no, but also it feels like my true self, you know? I've like
wow,
reached
so
my maximum
my
power.
My permanent retainer is holding me back from what I could really become.
From your full potential.
I could grow to full power.
I'm not going to lie though. Like every time I eat anything, I'm like, I was always like digging it out of my permanent retainer.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Mine, I'm just like.
Well, I had a top one.
That's true.
So
top
like
is
everything
worse than
you
bottom.
Bite into, your bottom teeth are shoving the food into the wires.
Yeah, that would suck.
So yeah. Also, I never had super crooked teeth. It was more my bite was an issue. So I don't think that my teeth are gonna move to like an extent where like my life is gonna be over.
You
now
don't
you
have canines.
You're a different story. I have no canines
you have
also.
No canines.
I don't
good
have
thing
any canines.
You don't really eat a whole lot of meat.
I know. Good thing I don't eat like steaks and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we've talked about random stuff for 10 minutes as I love how I literally ranted about how I hate listening to people talk about random stuff. talking about random stuff.
We started doing that. Yeah, you're right.
But I love that. That's why the podcast is fun. Like, who cares if anybody listens to it? Like,
yeah,
we just
true.
Have fun doing it. It's so funny. One of the hate comments, we get hate comments. One of the hate comments we always get is like, they'll let anybody have a podcast.
Really?
And I'm like, it's not like we got permission to do it.
That's still a funny comment.
I just
though.
Think it's so funny
like
when people
that.
Say that. I'm like, I'm sorry, did I forget to submit the application to you?
To the proper channels.
The proper channels. Okay, so Jonathan, do you want to introduce the movie?
Yeah.
Can I have some more water while you do your introduction?
Yeah, the movie is what's it called? It's called Heart of Stone.
You know,
or it could
your
just
water
be
cup
called...
matches the couch really well.
I know, right?
Did you do that on purpose? Whoa, oh, beans! She wanted to see it. I'm sorry. I distracted you.
How
sorry.
How am I going to get my water now?
I'll give it to you if you need it, but I need it more than you.
You're saying more, your needs are more important than mine?
No, I'm saying my needs are more frequent than yours. Okay, they require more attention.
I can't argue
you can't
with
argue that.
That. The movie's Heart of Stone, or you could just call it stereotypical Netflix action movie.
Did you do that yourself?
Yeah.
Did you write it down?
Oh, I didn't write it yourself. I just ad-libbed that.
That was wonderful.
It's directed by a guy named Tom Harper. Never heard of him. He did a movie called The Aeronauts, which I really disliked. It was about these two people going up in weather balloons in like the 1920s, and they were like groundbreaking.
No, I love a period film.
Had like Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones. It wasn't good. He's done a couple TV shows. Yeah.
So we don't like. We don't stan.
I'm sure he's a nice person. I just didn't really like Aeronauts. Didn't like
nor
his last movie.
You know, your shirt also really matches the couch.
What can I?
You are like a floating head in the viewfinder.
Oh, that's true. This movie stars Gal Gadot as Rachel Stone. Rachel Stone.
Rachel. Is Rachel spelled differently than Rachel?
I feel like it. Yeah, it would be R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E. That's what
or
I'm
like R A S H, E L L E, but the it's
Rachelle.
Why would it change Rachelle to Rachel, if you only change the letters at the end and not the C H?
That's a good question. I didn't think about that. I missed that part.
Oh,
of English
we
class.
Really talk about existential issues on this podcast. Whatever the name Rachelle, Rachel, beautiful names. Love
beautiful,
you.
Beautiful names.
Love you guys.
It's got Jamie Dornan as Parker. Christian Grey, who you didn't realize was Christian Grey.
I didn't know that was Christian Grey.
Yeah. This woman named Alia Bhatt as Kaya. And then Sophie Okonedo as Nomad. And also got the scientist from Oppenheimer, you remember him? Matthias. The actor's name is Matthias. He was Heisenberg.
There were a lot of people in Oppenheimer.
Heisenberg in Oppenheimer. He had like a 5-minute scene. Do you remember? The guy, the IT guy in Heart of Stone, who was doing all the little like, ooh.
No.
Okay. I thought it would click.
Nope. I'm sorry.
So I could have just put this into a AI, and this is what it would have come up with. The plot. An intelligence operative for a shadowy, what?
Are you saying it's so uncreative that an AI could have come up with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got where you were going.
Yeah.
Carry
I'm
on.
Always going somewhere.
Just not really sure
just
where.
Just if you're along for the ride, that's what matters. An intelligence operative for a shadowy global peacekeeping agency races to stop a hacker from stealing its most valuable and dangerous weapon.
Did you say racist?
Races.
Oh, races to stop. I was like, that didn't
they're
make
trying
sense.
To solve racism. any guesses on the budget? What?
The way you said that.
What?
You sounded like the guy who's like calling out the bingo numbers. B24.
Thoughts for your thoughts.
Okay. I would guess the budget was $70 million.
You just looked at my phone.
No, no, I swear to God, I did not. Correct. I did not. I did not.
That was crazy.
Was it really $70
million? Yeah, exactly.
I was going to go for $100, but last time I was way too high, so I was like, we're going to go lower.
Wow, that was impressive. That's the first.
Was it exactly $70
million? I think it was like 68, but I mean, basically 70.
Oh my gosh. I'm getting really good at this. Who knew you could practice guessing budget? Wow.
Wow, that was cool. Box office, unavailable because it's on Netflix. yeah. This is a movie.
This is a movie.
It's one of those movies where it really feels like a movie. It's quoting some Harry Styles on this podcast.
Oh, Harry Styles. He writes good music, though.
He's just a terrible actor.
He's not terrible. I don't know why everybody says he's terrible.
He was bad.
I would say
worry,
he's just
darling.
As good as Gal Gadot.
Okay, that's fair.
Because yeah, I don't think true. Gal Gadot is like an exceptional actress. But
neither.
Okay, stars. Stars.
At first, I was like, this movie isn't that bad. And then I thought about it more and I was like, this is kind of bad.
I thought the whole time it was bad.
You thought the whole time was bad?
How many stars would you give it?
Probably like two.
I was going to give it 2.5, but I thought that would be too mean. But now that you gave it 2, I'm going to give it 2.5. I was going to give it 3 because I felt bad giving it 2.
Sometimes I do feel bad about rating movies bad. I don't know why, though. It's like,
because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Like, you know they worked really hard.
Sometimes you do want to hurt their feelings.
Whose feelings do you want to hurt?
Like, the person who directed the last Fantastic Four and a ton of other movies that I hate.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
I guess I don't. It's just some movies infuriate me by how bad they are. It's like insulting. Can I talk louder?
Edit that out, future me. No, but like, at least can you like talk into the mic?
I am talking into the mic.
See, if you like talk into the mic, it'll be. Thank you. Okay. Do you want to get into my notes?
Notes of the notes.
Mm-hmm.
What are your notes?
I have a couple things I just want to touch on before we get into
you want
the,
a note on
the juicy part.
What?
Okay, so the whole time I was watching this, I was thinking that, you know, we already have Mission Impossible. We already have James Bond. These mid-level spy movies are just like unneeded, in my opinion.
This was like Red Notice. You
yes,
know?
And Red Notice was Ryan Gosling, so I was very disappointed. Like Ryan Reynolds. Oh, I thought it was Ryan Gosling. That's the right level for him.
Action movie. Ryan Gosling.
But I love Ryan Gosling in anything.
Me too.
Or Ryan Reynolds. I meant Ryan Reynolds. He's really funny.
Except for
Deadpool. It was just not my humor.
That's literally his best role.
It's too vulgar.
You're just a snowflake.
I'm wearing a shirt with quilts on it. Do you think I would want to watch Deadpool?
I guess that's true. That's hilarious, though.
I'm snuggling with my dog. Okay.
Doing a podcast.
But yeah, in my opinion, especially since this movie is like based on a powerful AI, which is extremely trendy right now, like AI stuff, AI movies. But it's like, if you think about it, no matter when they came up with the idea or, you know, who did it better, whoever comes out with the idea first is considered the pioneer. So in this case, it just looks like they're copying the recent Mission Impossible, even though I know it's not possible that they could have in the time frame of these two movies coming out.
It's just
when you just watch Mission Impossible, which was so good and had like a huge AI storyline, and then you come up with a movie like this, it's just like, it's not good enough. Like, in reality, it's two spy movies. Both of the spies go rogue. Both of them are trying to stop somebody from capturing a world destroying AI. Who did it better? Mission Impossible did it better.
Obviously, because they did practical stunts, and they also had a $200 million budget.
And it was being made by Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
So,
Cruise
like,
man.
Obviously, it was amazing. It was just, like, if Tom Cruise ran for president, I would vote for him.
I would not vote for Tom Cruise if he ran for president.
Oh, you know what? Like, he's a Scientologist, isn't he?
Yeah.
But
he's
a
weird guy. I respect him, but
you
want to
know what,
guy.
Jonathan? At least he's forward about it. I think every man who's been president has probably been a very weird, unusual, messed up person to want to be the president in the United States.
I guess that's a good point.
He's just very open about it. You know, everybody else just hides it.
At least he just puts it out there. It's what's best.
Yeah. At least we know he's crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's better than the people that seem normal, but are actually crazy.
Exactly. Like all of the presidents of the United States.
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. I think she's just
old. No need to get political.
No need to get political.
Not that I did or anything at all.
Okay. So, I just thought this was so cliche.
That's sigh.
Like, it checks all the boxes of what people want. Like, oh my gosh, there's bombs and guns and a car chase and a beautiful girl and like, just like a basic storyline. But like, I just don't think it would have been that hard for them to come up with something more original for AI. Like, we've seen AI, we've seen holograms, they're predicting the future. This is not original concepts. Like, it was just all the same. And I guess that's what I should expect of a movie of this caliber.
Caliber.
And then caliber.
It's like a cat.
Whatever, I'm not into guns. So, I think Mission Impossible did it better on all grounds. I mean, this movie just is not good. Like, in Mission Impossible, you actually, like, feared the AI. You were actually scared of them. This movie just made AI seem like a dinky tool, and, like, they didn't really show the power of it. And even when they did, it wasn't intimidating. Like, they just, like, showed the AI, like, oh, we killed all these people. But somehow, I didn't really care. I think it was like, whatever. Who cares? Whoever ends up with it, I don't care.
Yeah.
But in Mission Impossible, like, you're like, oh, my God, it's so powerful. You know? Like, it just seems such a big deal. Like,
it does.
The entity.
But that is also because Mission Impossible has built up a reputation for being high-quality movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Heart of Stone was just...
Which I get. Not. Some people are trying to, like, start a whole nother action franchise. Do we really need it?
Are they trying to make this a franchise?
I know they're making Red Notice a franchise.
Oh.
They've got, like, two more coming.
Well, I guess with Ryan Reynolds, it will be okay.
It'll be funny, at least.
I trust him, you know?
Yeah. True. Fun fact.
Oh, before we even get into the plot.
Oh, I thought we were in the plot.
No, I had one more thing, geez, I wanted to complain about.
The insignia on Rochelle Stone's motorcycle is a W for Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's cute, I guess. I don't know.
You were like, oh, that's
cute. She can have
cute.
More of a legacy than Wonder Woman. Moving on, my next complaint. Like, Robert Downey Jr., he's great in Oppenheimer. He's not just Iron Man. He was Iron Man, right?
Yes. Good job.
I was a little worried you were going to be like, what?
You have committed the cardinal sin.
Okay. All right. So the last thing that I want to complain about before we talk about the plot is that I find it so annoying that they somehow think their vigilante spy agency is more qualified and capable than MI6. Like, to
it
be
knows
honest,
every outcome before you know,
I
what
know,
to eat for breakfast.
But what to eat for breakfast? I eat the same thing every day for breakfast. There's a 100% chance outcome I'm going to eat that. But, like, they make MI6 seem, like, so incapable and useless. Like, it seems like MI6 is full of rookies that think
true.
That they're exceptional spies, but it almost makes you dislike them more because you don't grow an emotional connection with them. In reality, they just seem like cocky spies, and nobody likes the cocky guy. So, just saying,
well,
they really made
MI6
seem, like, incapable.
They did. I wonder if Britain's...
Like, they did a terrible job. Is MI6 real?
Yes, yes. I don't know if MI5 is real or not.
What's MI5?
It's pretty much the same thing, just a different organization, same thing, different name. I don't know if that's real or not.
Hmm.
Might be.
Well, I just kind of was like, you know, you're doing James Bond a disservice because you're making his agency look bad.
Speaking of James Bond, we need to know who's going to be the next James Bond. I think it's time.
Just because you've said that, no, they're not going to tell us.
Put on
like,
hold.
Like, you have not changed
Man,
everything.
I feel like I should. It should be Aaron Taylor Johnson, 100%.
I don't know who that is.
Anyway.
I'll just be surprised when it happens. Okay, so let's get into the plot, everybody. This one's a riveting one, so get excited. Okay, so the movie starts out at a ski resort in Italy. And there's like a casino type party ski resort, but it's kind of nasty and gross, and I personally wouldn't want to go there.
Well, you don't like huge groups of people anywhere.
True. I don't like large groups of people. I don't like casinos. I don't
you
like...
You really don't like casinos.
I don't like skiing. Not because I don't personally like it. I just... It makes me very... You know what? I wouldn't say I just like these things. I would say these things make me anxious. Large groups of people make me anxious, casinos make me anxious, and ski resorts make me anxious because everybody there has been skiing since they were 2 seconds old, and they just wipe down the mountains like it's nothing else, and I would just show up and not knowing what I'm doing, and one of my biggest like anxiety inducers is
not knowing what you're doing.
So overall, just like not a place I would want to be. It didn't look cool to me. It looks sludgy.
Sludgy.
Yeah, sludgy. So, whew. I just want to say, to start out, that the costume design was not it. was not it. Yang, one of the characters.
I have to agree with that.
She was wearing this like white puffy coat.
It was supposed to be like cool and fancy. With like
a white outfit under. Yeah, but I was like, first off, that would be very uncomfortable to ski in. And I don't even know how to ski in, I can tell you that. Second off, it just wasn't cute. Like, she just looked weird.
Like, practical for not practical at all.
Exactly. And it also, like, you don't blend in. You know what I mean? Like,
you blend out.
Blending in. You blend out. Exactly. So, yeah, just not my favorite. So, at this ski resort, there's an MI6 team of these characters named Parker, Yang, Bailey, and Rochelle. And they're trying to extract an arms dealer. For what reason? I do not know. I need to take a sip of water. So, this is the first time that they show the MI6 team to be extremely cocky and incapable of completing a mission. So Yang is supposed to go up and sedate the arms dealer, Mulvaney, but she gets caught instantly because she walks right up to him with the security guard there.
Freaking obvious about it.
But you know what? Like, in all the other spy movies, they do things so obviously, but it's a spy movie, so it just works out because they told the other actor,
don't look.
They decide after everything goes crazy, there's chouse everywhere, nobody knows what's going on. They decide to take Mulvaney down the mountain in a cable car because, of course, it's the fastest, most economical way to do it. And nobody's going to know where you are. Nobody's going to be able to spot where you are or how close you are.
It's not like it's lit up with lights.
Yeah, shoot you through the window or something. So, obviously, MI6 knows what they're doing. So, the MI6 team leave Hart or Stone. What was her name?
Rochelle.
I don't know why I wrote Hart. I meant to say Stone. So they left Stone at the top of the mountain because she is inexperienced and she would just get in the way. And the MI6 team drive down the mountain in a ambulance, like a snow ambulance.
Like a Jeep ambulance.
Yeah, a jambulance.
You just got jammed. Jambulance.
So... this is when we as the audience find out that Stone is actually a double agent.
Which we never saw coming.
I know. I would never have known. I honestly didn't know because I didn't see any ads for this. But also just the fact that she was the main character and they were playing her out to be a background and experienced person. Like, you knew right away she was going to be a double agent.
I don't think so.
But turns out she's a double agent infiltrating MI6, the good guys, by the even gooder guys, the Charter. Which are like this vigilante group.
And they always said it with a highly British accent. The Charter. Exactly. Well done.
So this is when you find out that she's actually double agent. So she pretends that she is the IT girl in the van new to the team. But all of a sudden, she's up on the mountain by herself. She whips out an earpiece, which looks more like a bedazzle. She puts it in her ear. And all of a sudden, there's a headquarters analyst guiding her through the best action plan. Using the fancy AI system that can break into any control system in the world. So this AI system is called the Heart, and it's being used by the Charter, a vigilante group that works to maintain world peace, free of any government oversight, which in my opinion seems like it would just be the breeding ground for corruption.
So does no government oversight doesn't exist like anywhere.
I just don't.
It's just not possible.
I don't know how they would have the infrastructure, the support, or the funds to have that large of an operation with no government oversight.
I don't find it realistic.
I don't either. I think that the government would know there's something up if there is a random abandoned, like, palace that has an abundance of like computing stuff happening and signals and
drives and
with in like shipping in guns and everything. Okay, Beans is now in my lap under the blanket, so that's what the giant lump is.
She is in her spot.
She's in her cozy spot. She likes to be under the blankie. Okay, so Stone manages to get to the bottom of the mountain before MI6, using the help of her analyst at headquarters, and she kills all the bad guys there. So once her team gets there after her, she hides so they don't know that she killed the bad guys. And they don't seem to care much at all that all of the bad guys somehow disappeared but left their vehicles behind. crazy coincidence how that happened. Also, surprisingly, somehow Stone killed all of the bad guys and hid all their bodies, but there's no blood in sight on any of the fresh white snow on the ground.
Fresh white snow.
So just like a little bit of, a couple plot holes, honestly. That was a little unusual. So sadly, even though the bad guys have died, they made it out unscathed. Mulvaney took a cyanide pill to kill himself and protect his agency and the knowledge that he had in his brain. So, all things aside, the mission was an extreme failure.
Extreme.
Mega failure.
X marks the spot.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Denied.
So, now Stone is plagued with questions about a woman that she saw when she was on the mission. So, there was this young girl who made eye contact with her, who also hacked into their secure comms and taunted the MI6 team. So Stone's like, who is this bitch?
This bitch is Alia Bhatt. That's the actress's name. She's not actually a bitch. This is her Hollywood debut.
Wow.
Fun fact. And she
pretty
plays...
Pretty big role for a Hollywood debut.
She plays it... Yeah, I know, right? Plays a 22-year-old, but she's 30.
Is she from like Bollywood or Tollywood or something?
I believe so. Let me look it up really quick.
So that's why it's her Hollywood debut. She's probably already a big actress then.
I imagine so. I mean, she was like decent. You know what I mean?
She was good. She's no Priyanka. Oh. She was in RRR. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that's,
she was.
Yes.
So she's a huge actress.
Oh yeah. She's big in Tollywood.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. She's doing Hollywood stuff now too.
I didn't even recognize her from RRR. Jeez.
So... Stone is doing some research on her with her fancy coding skills. And I was thinking during this scene, I was like, when characters do tasks in movies that require trained skill sets, I always wonder if they're doing it correctly. Because like whenever I see medical things that I know are inaccurate or musicians playing that don't line up with the movie, like it drives me crazy. So I really wonder, like, is she just like coding mumbo jumbo? You know, like people who
yeah,
actually know how to code.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. If I had like coding knowledge, I could probably tell if it was actually like
I know
accurate or not. You know?
I know that you can't tell. You don't need to tell me that you can't tell. I know you don't have coding knowledge.
I did a little coding.
Python. I did it and it was terrible and I hated it and coding was not an enjoyable class.
I shouldn't have to tell you how to do something. I should just know.
I know. But I feel like these movies, they need to have specialists on site. Like I remember when I took an accounting class. We had a substitute one day and he was telling us about how, so the accountant was filmed in Atlanta. I went to school in Atlanta.
Right.
And he was telling us about how when they were filming the accountant, he was the on-set guy to verify that all of the accounting numbers were correct and all the terminology was correct. Cool. So they literally had somebody on site, all of the numbers mm-hmm. like written on the wall and everything like are actually correct calculations. Which is just so cool because that means people who are like actually accountants, if they watch it, I mean, I was terrible at it, so I couldn't tell you, but maybe they would be able to tell if it was real or not. And it probably makes the movie way more real and like legit to believe. Legitness.
Agreed. I love that movie.
Oh, I love it too. I could watch it any day, anytime, all the time.
So, John Bernthal, Supremacy, everybody.
But I wish they had, you know, it would be interesting to know if the coding was real or not. But so... Stone finds out that this girl's name is Kia Dewan.
Dewan?
Dewan.
I don't know if that's correct. No, I don't know if it's correct.
Dewan. Well, Kia. So she's an orphan who's linked to Indian criminal syndicates.
I thought you were about to say Indiana Jones.
No, but she might have. Sorry. I don't know.
Go ahead.
So MI6 sends a team to try and track Kia down in Lisbon. And Stone is still undercover with the MI6 team. So when they get there, it was a trap. They're ambushed by some mercenaries.
Ambushed.
And then Stone's analyst orders her to evacuate, but she refuses. She goes back to save her friends and help them escape. And that's how all of her friends realize that she's not actually an undercover. Like, she's not actually useless. She's actually a real agent.
Also, all the other agents... I guess they didn't all seem useless, but like, I don't know, you feel like they'd be better trained.
I feel like they could have easily given Stone like a background of like, oh, she was top of the top Marines or something. or something like that. You know what I mean? Or top of the top in some army.
Discharge.
No, like they could have said she was some like top of the top in some like extremely highly skilled, qualified part of whatever military. And then she could then become an agent of MI6 and use those skills without it blowing her cover. But instead, yeah, but they wanted her to pretend like she wasn't.
If she was so highly skilled, then they wouldn't have put her in the van as the IT person.
Why does she need to be in the van as the IT person? If she's.
Well, I guess because her cover was that
because
she wasn't.
Because she's a woman.
I'm glad you agree.
Because what?
Because that was her cover, to not be as a field agent and not be skilled in like hand-to-hand combat. And
I know, but what I'm saying is she could have, you know, made her cover more believable. If she didn't have to hide that she
was, I guess
that's
true, and
like
she was
highly
just a
trained
field agent to begin with.
Yeah, and then she could have been a field agent to begin with, and then she wouldn't have had to hide that.
She wouldn't have to hide that.
Yeah.
True.
But, so, I thought one thing that was a little bit of a plot hole is that this woman, Stone, is an agent from an organization which is even more covert and qualified than MI6. And she still somehow blows her cover that easily. Like, are you kidding me? Like, just listen to this quote from this spy movie classic, Ghosted. Mission over man. Mission over man. And she blows it. Like, she's supposed to be the most highly trained agent ever. And she just gives herself up like that.
It's all about your friends, you know?
I'm just like, if she this whole time has this whole thing about, like, family over everything
mission
else.
Mission over man.
But, like, she would never have made it that far as an agent if that's what she really believed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see your point. Kind of a plot hole.
Yeah. Okay, so after she blows her cover and escapes with all of her friends, bam, Parker, one of her teammates, out of nowhere, murders Yang and Bailey. And he was also a double agent. So turns out there were two double agents in MI6 who were also on the same team. Like, wow, does MI6 look really bad?
Actually, props to this movie. I did not see that twist coming.
That he was going to be a bad guy?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have a love thing going on. I thought they were going to be like a thing, a fling.
A fling, a thing.
I think she was like kind of attracted to him, and that's why she overlooked that he was like potentially a bad person. You know what
true,
I mean?
True. Let's hope I'm not overlooking anything.
I feel like at this point, you know all the bad things about me.
That's true. There's a list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Parker, after revealing he's a double agent, reveals that he actually murdered Mulvaney in the cable car because he is trying to find the heart, which is this AI system.
The system.
So Parker then paralyzes Stone with some poison and then implants a device within her to act as a Trojan horse to infiltrate the charter's systems. So she is then taken to the charter headquarters where the device is ripped out of her arm by herself. She literally stabs it.
So how did she get from that street to their headquarters? They never said where their headquarters was.
Why? We're not supposed to. It's totally like covert.
It's totally covert.
Sorry, I just had like a little
that just seemed
retroactive burp. Jonathan, they do that all the time in spy movies. Like, they had the heart. They could probably track her, find what hospital she's at, and take her away right away.
I guess that's true.
So, after she rips the thing out of her arm, it wasn't fast enough. So the bad guys were able to break into their system for a little bit. But she destroys it. And because of the circumstances, her boss, Nomad, suspends Stone from duty.
Which has to be in every single spy movie.
You have to go rogue. You have to go rogue. So I just want to talk about the scene where she literally takes a knife, stabs her arm, and rips the like Trojan horse out. Because it's just like later in the film, like it's supposed to be like a couple days later, and her injured arm is legit just like a smudge of red paint. Like, you cannot dig in your arm and then not be left without a hefty wound. Like, that was, it was kind of just annoying. Like, I was just like, really? Like, you didn't even try. Like, just put some toilet paper, paint it red, and stick it on there. It'll look better. But
makeup and prosthetics.
I know. So Nomad, her boss, is one of the four kings. So the kings lead the charter, and they're inspired by like a deck of cards. So there's a king of each suit, and they all have their different units that they run within the charter. So all of the kings are meeting together to discuss the situation. And so they find out that Parker is trying to seek revenge because of an MI6 operation in Chechnya 8 years prior, where he inadvertently was left for dead after the charter destroyed a weapons cache.
Cover it up. Think about Chechnya is always in, like, always where bad shit happens in spy movies. It's always Chechnya, which I get it.
I didn't know that.
It's probably not a great place to be anyways.
Where is Chechnya? Like Eastern Europe?
Yeah, kind of like more like, yeah, Eastern Europe. Yeah, exactly. Kind of near Russia and Ukraine, but it's like more south.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. It's always Chechnya. I don't know why they gotta single them out so much. Anyways,
poor guys.
Chechnya.
I guess Chechnya just kind of sounds like foreign. Like it sounds Eastern European, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. True.
I don't know. But I just don't understand why Parker felt so special. Like, I just assume that's how all spy operations work. Like, mission over man. Like, if bad stuff happens, they're just going to blow it up and you're just left as collateral.
He was just butthurt.
I really probably don't know what I'm talking about. I don't personally know any spies. And even if I did know a spy, the chance of me knowing I knew a spy is pretty slim.
That's true. But if they were from this movie,
or Chechnya,
you would probably know. Or Chechnya.
So, having learned from hacking into the Heart's command system, they are able to find out that the Heart is in an airship / a blimp that is floating above Western Africa. So Parker and Kia are flying to the ship to retrieve the Heart.
Well, I got
to
fact check this. Keep going.
Oh, I already fact checked it for you.
You did?
I already did. I know
Thank
exactly
you.
What you're going to say. So I'm pretty sure they really just wanted this to be a Mission Impossible movie because at this point, Stone is suspended, but she still has to go and save the day. She's gone rogue. Stone's gone rogue.
Rogue Nation.
One thing I wanted to mention about this movie is how interesting it is that movies like to glorify terrible life advice. Like, we were talking about this yesterday, or the other day.
Wait, remind me?
Okay. Just like, if I took all the advice that I get from movies, I would learn this. Yes, girls, go after the bad boys. You will be the one to tame the wild horse. But in reality, like, those real guys, they will not change for you. They will dump you like they dump every other girl. Because it's not that they haven't found the right girl. It's that they have issues internally that they need to resolve. Okay? But movies just make you think you can change them. And in this movie, yes, when you get suspended from your job from defying orders and showing reckless behavior, you should go rogue on your own because you know way more than your boss. And it's time to go cause some mass destruction. Let's burn buildings.
Burn bridges, baby.
No, the truth is you are paranoid and you have too much pride to accept that you messed up. And you have some internal issues that you need to resolve.
Yeah, that's true.
I just
give you some life advice right there.
Yeah, life advice. Don't take life advice from movies. I just think it's funny. So many movies are based
off
that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Thank you. So, Sohn intercepts them on the blimp but she's unable to stop them from seizing control of the Heart and destroying the ship. So, in order to get there, Parker and Kia took a helicopter to 4,000 feet.
40,000
feet. I'm sorry, 40,000 feet up to get on the blimp. But according to the interwebs, helicopters usually fly lower than 10,000 feet. It has been done in the 70s to 40,000 feet once.
Really?
But the air gets too thin.
Exactly.
And there's not enough draft to keep the helicopter hovering.
Exactly.
But Jonathan was furious. See, I wouldn't have even questioned it. I would have been like, oh, cool.
Because
it's a space copter. But it makes sense. Like, if you think about it, like, it's like a fan. Like, it pushes the air molecules to push itself up.
Yeah, like they try to send helicopters up to rescue people at the top of Mount Everest and they can't even get up there because the air is too thin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
They should send jets.
But yeah, that's true. That made me furious.
Well, good thing I didn't look up, can a helicopter fly at 4,000 feet? Because then my fact checking would not have been factual. So Stone decides that she wants to jump off of the helicopter. Okay, wait, no. I messed that up. She decides to jump onto the helicopter because her parachute was destroyed.
It's blowing up. Yeah. Right.
And she also decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab Kia and we're going to go into free fall. And so they're now falling from the helicopter. She grabs onto Kia, deploys Kia's parachute, and they land in the Senegal desert.
Somehow holds on to her as the parachute goes up.
Yeah, literally. There's
no way you could do them. I mean, maybe.
If you're Tom Cruise, you could.
If you're Tom Cruise or Steve Carell. He did that in Get Smart, too.
True, Steve Carell. Yeah. Okay, so Kia reveals that she actually has the heart with her, and she has linked it to her biometrics, and she is needed to be able to control the heart now. So,
ultimate failsafe.
Exactly. So they, of course, get ambushed by a bunch of bad guys, but Stone gets away unscathed and follows Kia and Parker to Iceland, where Parker has activated the heart. And I think this is where they have decided to pull in some inspiration from Tenet. And they like to blow up concrete buildings because they're beautiful.
Except it looked a whole lot better in Tenet.
It would have been cool if it was real in Tenet, though. Because I thought he likes to make everything real, but there's no way he could have actually blown up that building.
No, I mean, they definitely blew up buildings, but, I mean, they didn't, like, reverse it. You know, they just reversed the footage.
They didn't actually blow up that building in Tenet, right?
Which building in Tenet, babe?
The, like, beautiful one.
That's the,
like,
opera house?
The opera house.
Yeah. They did an actual explosion.
But did they blow up the actual building? They did an actual building. They did an actual explosion an actual at building that building. Movie. At that beautiful cement building at the start.
Yes, yeah.
They let them do that?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Just like when you told me this, that off an atomic bomb this is in true. Oppenheimer.
I will look it up and fact check.
I don't want you to, because then we're going to sit here in silence for like 30 seconds while you're Googling.
Keep going.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Parker is now using the heart to kill all of the kings. They are using it to set up a bunch of traps. One of the things that he does is he locks a bunker that Stone's original charter team, so Nomad and that team, they were all working out of that bunker, but the heart has locked the bunker and cut off the oxygen supply. So the time is now ticking, which makes the movie even more tense. So good on them. Good on them.
Okay, well, I can't find anything that exactly says it was real, but you can tell it's real with the explosion. I mean, he drove the 747 into the building.
Are you telling me his CGI was too big? I love the hand motion you did.
You think he would do that and not just
blow up a beautiful opera house that is the cornerstone of a country?
I mean, yeah, he moved an airplane and crashed it into a warehouse.
Yeah, but that's different than blowing up an opera house.
Was probably
a
fine.
Real opera house.
I mean,
no one goes to the opera anyway.
Who needs the opera?
Okay, so
it was probably a manageable explosion.
Kia realizes that she might have teamed up with the bad guy, and she just wanted revenge for the death of her parents, but she didn't realize the implications of giving a bad person the power to wield a world-controlling artificial intelligence.
No way that could technically control any nuclear weapon system in the world.
What do you mean?
It could access any nuclear
weapons.
Oh,
that he could.
Anywhere.
Yeah, I know. She didn't really realize that might be a bad idea. So yeah. Kia decides to team up with Stone to take down Parker. Honestly, in my opinion, this is also a risky decision because she is choosing a lesser evil. She has no idea what the charter really does. We don't even have any idea if Stone is actually working for the good guys. They're just a team that is set up in the movie to be the good guys. They didn't sell me on supporting the charter as good guys as well as they could have. And Kia pretty much just chose Stone because she said, oh, I want to be nice to people. But she could have been just saying that and still want to blow things up. Just saying.
Plenty of people are nice and it's still not, blow things up.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, if it was MI6, like, then I would have been like, yeah, those are the good guys, you know?
Well, the good guys is kind of a gray area too, you know?
You know that movie, The Good Guys? Or is it The Other Guys?
The Other Guys.
Love that movie. Will Moving Ferrell? On. Yeah. So they are... No, I'm talking about the movie with
the nice
Ryan...
Guys.
The Nice Guys. Love that one. So they, of course, save the day. Later, of course, Kia joins the charter as an agent. And also a side note, I want to visit Iceland now. So thank you to the movie for the inspiration.
I guess that's something
to visit Iceland.
Like the movie for.
Yep. So that was like my whole summation of it. And I thought the movie was pretty boring because near the end I was just Googling Iceland.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, solid 2.5 stars. Good work. Yes.
Yes. And yeah, Gal Gadot isn't, I don't see her winning any Oscars.
I just don't think she's that great of an actress. But she's made a great career for herself and I respect her for that.
Me too.
And I love her. Every time I see her in a movie, I'm never like, ugh. Like, I always enjoy seeing her in movies.
When you, who do you go, ugh, when you see in a movie?
Who do I go, ugh, when I see them in the movie? I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
John Cusack. God, he's just like, ugh. It's just like,
Oh, you know who mine is? The guy who said, Adine Diesel.
John Travolta, this guy.
John Travolta.
Isn't his face just
I think
so,
John Cusack is a great actor.
Just like, ugh, he's so mediocre.
Oh my God. Also, so John Travolta and also, what's his name? The guy who is like a meme.
You're going to have to narrow it down, babe.
And he was in those like Hellfire movies with the motorcycles.
Ron Perlman?
No. Maybe I'm not thinking the right Hellfire movies.
Hellfire?
He recently had a movie with our favorite man from Mandalorian. What's the Mandalorian's name?
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal recently did a movie with where he was like weird and they were in Mexico and they were best friends.
Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage!
How can you not remember his name?
Beans is disturbed. I, you know what though? I will always find a way there. I'll always find a way there.
That's like doing the Wikipedia game, you know?
Oh my God, I love the Wikipedia games. So fun in middle school.
You're just a Wikipedia game.
I am a Wikipedia. No, what I am is I ask the questions and you have the answers. True. You are the source and I am the one who knows how to optimize my search engine.
Yes.
Yeah, you're the search engine.
You make a good team.
Okay, so movie for next week.
Why are you singing?
I don't know. No one's going to be listening at this point anyways.
That's true. They've turned it off well.
If you are, but like, thanks. Okay, so next week's movie. We could either watch Gran Turismo or there's a movie called Pod Generation.
Oh, yeah. I saw Emily Clark. I hadn't heard of it until...
I kind of just want to watch it to watch it.
With Emilia Clarke and...
this other guy who looks really cool. I don't know his name.
Yeah, I'm blanking on his name.
But it seemed interesting.
David Olo, maybe?
No. But honestly, I'm not going to lie, I'm not that excited to watch Gran Turismo. I'll watch it because I want popcorn.
I'm really excited for The Creator. That's coming out this September. That looks mucho good.
Mucho good. I'm really excited for Napoleon.
Oh, yeah. Do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you want to watch next week?
Gran Turismo.
Fine. We're watching Gran Turismo. Bye.